Okay, so I'm here to tell you our story today. And our story comes from Exodus chapter 1. So you might know in the story of Israel that there is a guy called Israel, and he has 12 sons, and one of those sons goes to Egypt. His name's Joseph, and he basically rescues his family and provides a way for them to live in the land of Egypt. Okay, and this is a great thing that they're rescued and fantastic. So this is where we pick up our story, that the Israelites are living in Egypt, but there's one problem. A new king of Egypt comes along, and the king of Egypt does not know Joseph, does not know the Israelites, and he's threatened by them. So could I get three people to play an Israelite for me? You three girls, fantastic. Could you just come up on here? You're going to be like farming and doing whatever, just doing some general work that people do. Fantastic. And the king of Pharaoh, could I have a king of Pharaoh come up? Belle, you can be our king of Pharaoh. Maybe the Pharaoh's a queen in this story now. And okay, so Belle sees, the king of Pharaoh sees how many Israelites they are and begins to get worried. So the king of Pharaoh says, I'm going to make your work even harder. And so now they had to work even harder to do all the normal things. And Pharaoh gave them all the worst jobs in Egypt to do. But you know what happened? The Israelites kept growing more and more. So I need three more people to come up and join the Israelites. Come on up, come on up, come on up. Okay, so the Israelites kept growing even more. And the king was getting even more worried. And so the king said, that's it. I'm going to make you slaves and have you do the worst of the worst jobs. Here are your jobs. But you know what happened? The Israelites kept growing. So I need even more and even more. Can I get more kids to come up? If you want to come up, come on up. And they were doing all of the hardest jobs. But there was nothing the king of Egypt could do to stop the Israelites being prosperous and to stop them being more and more and more. And he was worried because there was more Israelites living in Egypt than there were Egyptians. Okay, can we give our people a hand? Well done, workers. And so there was more Israelites than Egyptians, and they were beginning to get worried, and they kept them in slavery. And so the king of Pharaoh decided what he was going to do was not let any baby boys be born anymore. So he said to the midwives, if there's a baby boy, I want you to kill the baby. But what the midwives did is they feared God. And so the midwives said, we're not going to do that. So they lied to the king and said, the Hebrew women just have babies before we can even get there. There's nothing we can do about it, right? And so then the king is so frustrated because there's more and more and more Israelites still coming that he says this, all of the baby boys, I want them thrown into the river. I want there to be no more baby boys of all the Israelites. And so this made one particular woman very worried because she actually gave birth to a baby boy. I have my baby boy this morning. No, Megan hasn't given birth, don't worry. So here's my baby boy. Can I have a Moses' mother? You can be Moses' mother. You don't want to be Moses' mother? Would you like to be Moses' mother, Eliza? Okay, so you can be Moses' mother. So you have a baby boy and you want to protect him at all costs. Now, Moses needs an older sister. Would you be the older sister? Fantastic. Okay, taller than a mother already. It's fantastic. And so she decides what she's going to do is she will put Moses into the river, but she makes a basket first and places Moses inside of the basket very carefully and gently and then puts Moses on the river. Now, people, you are all going to be my river today, and I want Moses to crowd surf all the way around the room and make his way back here. Can we do that? And now the whole way he goes, Moses' sister watches over him. So you've got to follow watching from a distance. Okay, you ready? All right, here we go. It's going to make its way back. Don't let Moses fall out. God's going to protect him all the way. Nice. If you've seen The Prince of Egypt, there's like crocodile snapping and there's waves crashing. This is like whitewater rafting for Moses before it was cool. And he keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. He's making it all the way around. Fantastic. The currents keep changing. They don't know what they're doing. And baby Moses washed all the way up to the king's palace. And Pharaoh's daughter, Mercy's playing Pharaoh's daughter. Come on up, Mercy. Pharaoh's daughter sees this baby in a basket in the river. So she goes in and she picks the baby up. And she notices that there's somebody watching the baby, Moses' sister, and calls Moses' sister over. Call her over. And she says, could you find somebody to look after this baby for me? And so she says yes, and she goes and gets her mum, Moses' mother, and Pharaoh's daughter says, I will pay you to look after this baby until the baby is 3 years old. And so she gives the baby over to Eliza, the mother, and she goes and cares for Moses for the next 3 years until he's a three-year-old. Who here is three? Can you throw your hands up in the air? Three-year-old. So Moses was 3 years old, and then Moses got brought back to the palace and got to live as Pharaoh's grandson and Pharaoh's daughter's son. Okay, can we give all of our actors a hand? Well done, guys. So that's the story of how Moses' mother and his sister protected Moses. So we have some fun packs for you kids right now that Nicola's going to get and she can bring forward. Could we just work at pushing this mat back like half a meter? So I need you all to hop off and we're going to pull it back. And I want to welcome a mother of this house that has been a mother of this house right from the beginning, Pastor Chris. And she's coming to share around her take home from today's story. Could you welcome Pastor Chris?
Well, good morning, everyone, and special welcome, special honour to all the mums today. Special love to all the mums. And I know today for some mums, it's a hard day. Some of you that are remembering your mums or just being real about cracks in family or cracks in relationships with kids. So I just want to say to you mums, don't you give up hope today. Don't you give up hope. God loves our kids more than we do. And we can only know how much we love our kids. God loves your kids more than you do. So, Moses' mama. I haven't read this story for a few months, and now that I've come back to it, I'm like, wow, this is so exciting. What a great story. A man of the house of Levi. This is Exodus 2. It should be up on the screen. He married a Levite woman. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. And when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, a fine child. I don't know about you. I reckon if I ask Georgia up the back there, if she thinks that Magnolia is a fine child, when she looks at her, is she outside? She's probably got... As mums, when you hold that child in your hand, I mean, I can't... It feels different for every mum, and I get that. But in general terms, there's a lot of love that exchanges right there between a mother and her kids. And I wonder, when the scripture tells us that his mum looked at it and said, fine child, she actually had two other kids. She had Aaron, Moses' brother, who was 3 years older, and Miriam, we don't know how much older, but we think maybe like 7 or 8 years older. She holds this baby and she says, this is a fine child. Like every mother, every healthy situation would do. That word fine in the Hebrew, it's the only time up to that point that it's used after creation in the scripture. So when God says it was good and his creation was perfect and beautiful, it's that same word that she's using to describe her son. So there was something extraordinary about Moses. We don't know what that is. The other side of that coin, and I love this about scripture, Moses is credited with writing this. If I ask my kids who's their favourite, each of them will say they are. Who's the most beautiful? Each of them will probably say they are. Moses is credited with writing this. So I have to wonder, you know, having as a mother of children, if he was like, I was a fine child. I was beautiful. I was perfect. There was something about him. When she looked at him, I believe that she perceived something about his future. she perceived something. I bought my Bible today, not my phone, because I want to remind you that this couple of verses is part of a story like this. It's part of a narrative that begins with a mother and her son and a mother's desire to protect her child so he can participate significantly in the narrative of Jesus. She perceived something and she protected him for 3 months. Mothers protect the potential of their children. That's what we're wired to do. It's what God wants us to do. We perceive that potential and we protect it. And I think for 3 months, those of you that have had kids in the house, this family did not live in a mansion. They lived generationally, most likely, and it wasn't like everyone had their separate wing, which is what we would do now. Together but separate if we were going to do generationally. These people lived on top of each other and they were slaves. There was no lavish mansions. They lived under the view of the Egyptian slave masters. They lived communally, hiding a baby for 3 months. Do you think babies care about crying when they're that age? They don't. They don't care about it for a long time. They just do what they need to survive. And I think, wow, she was protecting something. And then she fought for it. So for 3 months, she kept that baby hidden. How would you do that? How would you do that in every culture across the world? There's some expression of the mother has a baby and then the community, family and community supports. Having a baby is a communal endeavor. So to protect that child and to fight for the life of that child for 3 months is a significant thing and a hard thing. And we can miss it because scripture kind of goes, and for 3 months they hid him, he was a fine child, and moves on. This is huge. You think about that. I mean, you could have done that during COVID, but even the most private of houses for us, your village knows that you're pregnant. So were they making up a story about what happened after his birth? Like, what were they doing? And who did they have to get in on this? This is a fight. She perceived his potential and she fought for it. And I guarantee you, every mother of faith here, if I surveyed and I asked, they would each say that there were significant points, and there still are, where you're fighting for something in your child's life that you know needs to be fought for, because that's what mothers do. And I wonder this morning for you mums and dads and families, what the fight looks like for you this morning, what it is that your fight looks like. And I want to encourage you to be strong in that and to just be faithful in what God has put in your hand to stand for and fight for. You're going to perceive it. Often, mums, we know what is needed. We're good like that. We know. And I was listening to all the kids say, my mum gives great advice. Honestly, when I heard that, my first thought was, well, that's going to change. It changes for a while, hopefully not, and then it comes back when you keep the relationship. My kids didn't think that I knew very much for a season of time, and then they reached this point where they're like, oh my goodness, mum and dad know so much. And then there'll be a season where, if we've raised them right, they know what to do themselves. And we're watching that unfold. It's really beautiful to see when they walk in their own faith and they learn their own hard lessons. But it's because we protected that. I remember when our kids were teenagers, they'd be like, so can I go to this party? Everyone's going. And then they'd tell me which families were going and they knew that I'd be like, okay, that's an all right family. Don't want them hanging out with those kids. Like, that's what we do. Let's be real. And I'd say, look, I'd be like, doesn't feel right. No, you can't go to that one. Yeah, but these people are going. And I'd say, well, I'm not preparing you for those people's future. I'm preparing you for your future. And then you hold that intention with, you can't say no to everything or you'll lose your kids. If you oppress your children like a slave master, you will lose them. So it's a delicate, delicate tension that we walk between protecting and fighting for our kids and also not becoming slave masters. Very difficult. We need the Holy Spirit for this. So Moses' mum, she fought for her child. Perceived and protected, she fought for her child. The third thing she did, actually I want to read to you Hebrews 11. I didn't realize until Judah said it last week that Moses' parents are listed in the Hebrews 11, Heroes of the Faith chapter. And this is what the scripture says. by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Parents, mamas, there are so many narratives in our society today that compel us to live fearfully, to be parents and mamas that cower from the narratives around us, from the culture around us. Let me say to you, it is not your job to cower. It is your job to rise up in faith. And we see that in Moses' mother. And I want to say to you, some of you, I know this because I'm sensing it right now in my spirit. You've been tempted to sit back. You've been scared. And the Holy Spirit is saying, rise up. Don't give up the fight for what I have shown you. What you've perceived is right. You need to protect it. You need to protect it in prayer. And you need to rise up in confidence that I have got you. I have got this, and I love your kids more than you do. Amen? Amen. Okay. Third thing, mamas, trust God. And trusting God for Moses' mother looked like this. I'm going to build him a basket. I'm getting a basket. Not this basket, but a great prop. She lined it with tar. Now, we might think, oh, how do we know it's going to float? Trust me, in their culture, if they lined it with tar and put a cover on it, it was going to float. They had mad skills in these like homemaker areas that we don't have. We don't have to worry about that. And interestingly, little side note, the word that they use for basket is a similar word to ark from the story of Noah. So this is a representation. God was doing some salvation work here when Moses is put in the basket. The place where babies are being murdered in the Nile is when she releases that basket to the Nile, it becomes the place of Moses' salvation, so to speak, because his sister follows him down the river. I mean, yes, girl, follow that basket down the river. Get, you know, watch over it till it gets to Pharaoh's daughter. But they didn't know that would happen. She had no idea that would happen. She just had to do the best she could. Okay, I'm going to release the basket, maybe in the right area. Maybe she just went to some secret spot on the Nile and just released the basket. Maybe she had 5 minutes to do that before she was being watched. We don't know, but it's such a beautiful picture for us mothers and for parents and for families that every day we are releasing our kids into God's care, and that requires a level of trust. It's not a once-off, it's a lifestyle. My question for you this morning is, what does trusting God look like for you? What does releasing the basket look like for you this morning? Maybe consider that and bring that before the Lord. She released the basket. And then we know from the story, oh, so beautiful. Miriam follows the basket. Pharaoh's daughter finds the basket. And Miriam, I mean, Moses was saved by women. I haven't got time to go back to the midwives and explore that. But Miriam says to Pharaoh's daughter, I mean, what a gal. Clearly she had some sass or something, some courage. I know someone who can nurse the baby. And Pharaoh's daughter says, fine, go and get the child's mother and I'll pay her. God just turned the situation around right there. So now his mum is under the protection of Pharaoh's daughter. This baby's under protection. And the mother's getting paid in a slave economy. She's getting paid for this. This is incredible. Miracles. Then it says, so the woman, Moses' mother, took the baby, nursed him. And when he grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she named him. So this is not Moses' mother. This is Pharaoh's daughter. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. That mother, when babies were weaned, it was not like we're weaning at 6 months and putting on formula or something. Those babies stayed with their mothers and were weaned at 2 or 3 years. And the exciting thing about that is that for 2 or 3 years, Moses sat under the Hebrew language, within Hebrew customs, within Hebrew oppression, within Hebrew faith. And he got to experience that in the formative years, some of his most formative years of his life. He got to experience what it meant to be Hebrew. And then he took that with him to Pharaoh's house. And I think what a hard thing it is. Whatever his mother had named him, and I'm sure she had, she had to even release his name. Not just his person, but his name. And he's known throughout the scripture under his Egyptian name, not his Hebrew name. And I think, how hard would that be as a mum? Okay, yes, she got him back. We didn't expect that to happen. Yes, she nursed him. But once again, we see that journey of trust and release as she takes him back, as she says she will, back to Pharaoh's daughter's house and releases him into his future. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what we do as mums? We trust, we release, we trust, we release. All throughout their lives, we're just trusting and releasing. God, we trust you, we release our kids to you. So this morning, we're going to have our worship team come up. I want to finish with a question for you. What does trusting God look like for you? What does perceiving and protecting look like for you? What does fighting for look like for you? And this song is just a focus and a promise on what Jesus can do for you, for your family, and for your children that he loves more than you. Amen.